Hello, everybody. It's Eddie. Glad you are with us today. Got Mr. Mangan with us?
Hey, Eddie. How are you? Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you.
Welcome back to the office today.
Yep. First day back for me.
First day back.
Got Matt. He's running the boards for us. He's actually over camped out in the office that you oversee in Mississippi.
Yeah. That.
And then we got some guy down in Florida, I think, that's listening in with us today. What's his name?
That's right. Happy New Year, buddy.
Happy New Year to you. All right. So we're glad to have you, Kevin. All right. Let's click in here, Mr. Matt, and talk about, well, first of all, Happy New Year, everybody. We had a great holiday season. I counted up. I was gone about 30 weekends this year. Kevin, you feel like you probably were gone that many, too. So we goof off a little bit during the holidays and had fun doing that. And let's see, what do we got here? What happened to me? Well, first of all, there's Hudson, number 27. Making kind of the final tackle of the game that sent them to the state championship. So Hudson got to play in the state championship. There's him making a tackle at the state championship. And we lost by 2 points. So there you go. We're reserve Texas state champions. Now, you know what? We're thrilled. Hudson got to play 3 varsity games for the state championship in his Texas high school football career. Who in the world would be foolish enough to complain about that, right?
That's right.
He got the big ring. He didn't get it this year, but he's got the big ring, and so pretty cool.
You'll always have that to remember.
Then we went to Denver and watched Emily dance. And Emily danced the principal role in the Nutcracker, Clara. And there is Emily Charles flying through the air.
She is flying. I just looks like you just drew it up there.
She's, you know, it's funny. Like when you, like Matt and I would laugh and say, when you hang around with Emily just, you know, doing just normal life stuff, you don't really think that she can do that. But she's trained her whole life, and so we got to have a fun time, watch Emily do that, and got to go backstage and take pictures after the thing. So most of you know my family, but that's Wood on the left. That's my mother-in-law, who Charles manages a portfolio for. Her name is Betty Riley. Of course, Martha, myself, there's Emily, there's old Matthew. Who's the tall boy behind you, Matthew?
Oh, no, he was kind of freaking me out. He's so tall.
That's Hudson. So Hudson's a senior. Hopefully he'll get to – he's getting some good offers. We'll see where it lands, but hopefully he'll get to play a little college football and saga will continue with the Speeds. So had a good time. All right.
Yeah, Mr. Speed, it was funny. Mika, which is Emily's physical trainer, she's like, it's not often that you hear about people who have one daughter dancing Claire in the Nutcracker and potentially a son playing college football on Saturday. So it's like, you know, it's like you have to keep it dated for next year. So
Yeah. It's Emily and Hudson are don't exactly have the same body type, I'd say. All right, Mr. Mangan, this is going to be on you, my man.
All righty.
So if you'll give me a second, I'll check to make sure my mood has made it on, which he has, and is now unmuted. Go ahead, my mood.
Hi, guys.
Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too, Eddie.
Yes, sir. All right, you're doing a mod?
I was looking at some due diligence material, and I noticed that the modification was not notarized. And the follow-on question was, should it be recorded?
you know, most of the modifications I see that we that come through our office, Mahmood, they're not recorded. Okay, that's not saying you can't record a modification, but they're typically not recorded. You know, and as far as notarized, some of the form modifications are notarized, some of them aren't. Personally, I would if I'm doing a modification, I'd probably want my modification notarized.
But it doesn't affect the legal aspects of it, right, Charles?
Does not.
A notarial acknowledgement is only for the purpose of recordation. Is that correct?
Correct.
If you wanted to record it, you could record a memorandum document and put the modification as an attachment that's unnotarized.
Correct.
That's
true? That's right. You could. And I mean, I've never had a legal issue with it, Mahmood, by not being notarized or not being recorded. I've never come across a legal issue as long as I've got a copy of my modification.
Okay.
But there's no law set in stone saying your modification has to be notarized and recorded. There is no law.
Okay. Yeah. For all of you that are new, Mahmood has been with us for years. He is a top-rate titanium student. He's done lots of deals. We don't need to do the disclaimer with him that we're not attorneys and we really can't render legal advice. He understands that we're just asking for it from the premise of our experience in the business. So those of you that are new and whatever, you know, certain students, you'll notice that we just don't even need to do the disclaimer because he knows that, you know, we're just speaking from life experience.
And when you get to dealing with your bigger banks like Bank of America or Citi, they'll send a notary out to notarize a modification generally. But when you're dealing with the smaller institutions, Mahmood, they don't always notarize modifications.
What's a mobile notary cost, Charles?
Mobile notary cost typically about $100 to $150.
And you are a mobile notary.
I am a mobile notary.
And you've done it thousands of times when you work for the bigger institutions.
Right. Yeah, I actually even closed a loan over the holidays for Bank of America.
Okay. So you understand, the reason I brought that up is a lot of people, like when you're trying to get somebody to sign a deed in lieu or whatever, do not go send them off somewhere so they're going to get lost or get distracted. You got any kind of a legal document that needs notarizing, just send it out with a mobile notary and set the time up, and they'll get the stuff and get you the document back. And that way, getting pushback from anybody signing anything is a lot less. Do you agree with that, Charles?
Yeah. And let me reiterate on the fee, because you were asked about how much it is. When you're talking about a few signatures, you're probably looking at about $50 to $75 to notarize a document, to use a mobile notary service. So, I mean, it's, you know, so you're looking for anywhere from $50 to $150, depending on how many signatures are going to be required. And typically a modification is going to only requires a couple of signatures in there. Maybe three or four signatures in the mod and some initials.
Okay. How would you find a mobile notary, Charles?
There's different mobile notary sites. ServiceLink is a mobile notary service. There's another company called SnapDocs, which they offer a mobile notary service as well. So all you have to do is go on Google mobile notary services. There's probably about 5,000 nationwide. So it's not hard to find a mobile notary service.
All right. Well, that's more than you wanted to know, Mahmood, but I just thought it came up.
No, it's good to know. Thank you. That's helpful.
So I think what Charles and I are saying is, from our perspective, we generally are not worried about filing a modification of record. Interesting fact. When you modify, are you modifying the note or are you modifying the security agreement?
The note.
Then why would you file a record? Note's not filed a record.
Right. Makes sense.
So, now, the modification could be changing certain characteristics of the security agreement, like the maturity date. You see what I'm saying? But I think, generally speaking, am I correct in saying, Charles, that a modification is a modification of the debt instrument, not the security instrument?
Correct.
Great question.
Thank you.
Great question. All right, let's see here.
Charles, can you kind of delve into what exactly you mean by mobile notary?
Well, it's a mobile notary service, and a lot of your banks on refinances and, you know, lenders call mobile notary services to go out and basically they come to your home and notarize the document for you. So you don't go in and you don't have to go out and try to find some place to go, a notary service to go actually go into their office. They'll come to your house and actually notarize documents there at your kitchen table.
Yeah, if I were gonna buy a seller finance note today, or I were gonna get a deed in lieu, the last thing I would do is send somebody off to a title company to go sign all that stuff.
And that's what servicers do. When they're getting a deed in lieu signed, they make an appointment with the borrower and they send a mobile notary out there with that deed in lieu and they have them sign it and they notarize it. So you don't have to, you know, you don't have to necessarily get a vendor to go out there and do that. You can just call them out, mobile notary, and get them to do it. Set up an appointment and they'll go out there and do it for you.
All right. All right, Matt, what's next, buddy?
All right. So Lisa has a question here. So let me, there she are. Go ahead, Lisa. Lisa, you with us? She said she has no mic. She ordered it as a Christmas gift, but Santa never brought it.
Well,
Lisa, you were good.
We got to deal with that. All right, Lisa, we understand. All right, so let's talk about this, Charles. Okay. Our friends in St. Louis area, I'm sure you've seen the national news. Basically, they had terrible flooding there, right?
Correct.
And I know that I just left Mississippi, and the Mississippi River is going to flood, and it's just kind of coming down the river, right? So our friends, you know, in the middle part of the United States are dealing with some serious flooding, and you know, one of the things that we probably don't talk about enough, and I thank Lisa for helping us see that, is we don't talk about flood properties or flood insurance or what the heck do you do to verify if it's flooded or not. So let's just kind of go through the whole property preservation process, Charles, that you think is the right procedure.
Well, you know, first Lisa mentioned, well, you know, if you can't get a hold of a fireman, if they're busy, if there's a flood, if there's flooding, you're not going to get a hold of a fireman. They are definitely going to be busy. And so is your police officers. So, your public officials, you're probably not going to have any luck. Anytime we had floods, earthquakes, hurricanes, any properties in any type of situations like that, we would go through and order property inspections. Okay. So, a lot of times properties are not even assessable. I've had properties where, you know, there was, earthquake and, you know, they shut down and evacuate certain neighborhoods and we couldn't even get into the neighborhood to look at the house. So sometimes you're not going to be able to get to the property. If it's flooded, you're not going to have, there's not any way you're going to be able to get to the property itself. And even your preservation companies, a lot of times they can't get access to these properties or within areas. So, you know, I've had properties, Eddie, honestly, where I had to go back and like Google Earth and find a local store. And it was close by to the property. I've contacted a grocery store and said, hey, look, what's going on in the neighborhood? I know you're located on this street, and I've got a house there. And they'll say, yeah, you can't get to the house. They've evacuated the neighborhoods, you know. And they can typically, you know, I've gotten some good, you know, advice from people like that. You know, well, you're not going to be able to get in the neighborhood for at least a week, you know. So it's, if you've got a property, your best bet is to go ahead and call an inspection company, pay the $20 and get the property inspection. And they're going to tell you right then, they can call a vendor and their vendor can tell you right then, no, we can't get to that property. Because they've evacuated the neighborhood, the area is shut down for whatever reason, and they'll report back to you. So that's going to be your best bet. You know, if it's a serious situation, such as a flooding, earthquake, tornado, whatever the case may be, that's probably going to be your best bet.
Yep. Very good. Lisa, we see you're on the chat area, so hopefully that kind of helps you out there. That's a good question, though. Lisa was basically just kind of suggesting, is there any way to do it, you know, short of spending the money, which is always a good question, because sometimes we do know it's something that's, you don't need to do that. So, yeah, the Google Earth and finding some kind of a, you know, a business, it could be a bank branch or a convenience store or whatever, something where you thought you could get somebody to answer the phone. That's a good idea. You know, Charles, yesterday, you know, I used to own a building with Joe and Chip over on the east part of Dallas. I owned this office building with them for years. And Martha and I are watching the news about a week ago, and all these people died in this tornado in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, right?
Right.
I said, crap, that's right there where Chip and Joe's office is. Chip and Joe bought me out several years ago. I text Joe. I said, what's the deal with your office building? And a half mile away was where all of those apartments and houses were wiped out in this terrible tornado. Like 9 people died.
Right.
And we had to, we were avoiding traffic yesterday, getting back in to make it back so I could make the call last night. And I went, I circled around that part of town, and it was, it would have been one of those very stories. I mean, just, there's an apartment complex that just, my goodness, I don't know how somebody that was in there would have survived. Terrible.
In those neighborhoods, they have shut down. You couldn't actually get into those neighborhoods to go look at a property if you wanted to, because the firemen and policemen have the streets blocked off.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's usually grocery stores or some type of business close by, Lisa, that you can, you could contact. You know, like I say, you can go to Google Earth and find out what the businesses are and call them. Say, hey, look, I own a house there. I can't get to it. What's going on?
Hey, Charles, I want to talk about flood insurance. Okay. So everybody that's ever had a home mortgage, you know, where you got an FHA, Fannie Mae loan, and the house was in the 100-year floodplain, you got flood insurance, right? And I don't know what percentage of our audience that that would have affected, but, you know, I've seen people need flood insurance in the mountains because it's like a floodway where the river, the mountain river runs down, right?
Right.
So one of the things that, that I don't think is talked about very much is flood insurance on us, on the notes that we're buying. Okay.
Okay.
Although it's available. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you can get a flood cert map and absolutely be certain if your property is affected by at least a 100-year floodplain, right?
Right.
So if you decided you wanted to get flood insurance on one of your defaulted notes because it was in a high risk area, what would you do?
Well, I'm sure you can go through your either the servicer can get to the forced place provider, Eddie. And, you know, not only can you get forced place insurance on the or the liability on the house, but you can also get flood insurance through these companies as well. They will write a binder for flood insurance. Now, it's probably costly. If it's in a, especially if you're dealing with a forced place insurance, it's going to be more costly than your just your general liability.
Or why wouldn't you just go pay their flood insurance premium?
You could do that. You could do that.
Yeah.
And again, that's a good question. It's something we don't talk about, and it's a good question. We don't have any of our homes insured by flood insurance. So, I mean, it could, you know, a lot of properties fall in a 100-year floodplain, and there's never been a flood. And yeah, just the way the FEMA maps are drawn, and you can a lot of times get them replatted and get them taken out of a floodplain. But, you know, it's always good to know that you can get flood insurance or go take out a policy if you wanted to.
Yeah. Yeah, and the reason, let me clarify this. The reason that we don't typically do it is because we're in the low price band space. So there's some business element to our business is that, you know, it's more economical to self-insure. I mean, if we put flood insurance on any potential property, the premiums would be crazy per year, and, you know, you could probably lose a couple of houses for what you could pay the premiums for. So there is a business risk, and it depends on how many assets you have. If you have your business spread over three assets, then maybe that's a different model than if you have your business spread over a whole bunch more. All right, very good question, Lisa. All right, Matthew, what's next?
All right, so we are working with ProTitle to come up with a little bit of information, especially with building curriculum for the next few months on our webinar calls. And they came up with a list of what they consider in their area to be the top 10 title issues that they consider to be most prevalent on title reports. So what we're going to do today is, first off, we'll go through the definitions of the top 10. We're going to do a quick survey to find out, number one, what most people have the least amount of understanding about on the title issues, and then also what they are seeing most prevalent on the title reports that they are looking to. So I don't know if we want to look through the definitions first and then...
Yeah, let's just kind of talk through them real quick. Okay. Charles, why don't you run with that?
Well, okay. Go ahead, Matt.
Well, first off, Tim actually has a question regarding property preservation with NAA. You want me to go ahead and unmute him before we start jumping into this? Because this is going to take a little bit. So.
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Tim, go ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
How are you, Tim?
I am doing well, thank you. Got a question. I have engaged National Asset Advisors to help me with my Detroit asset. They have gone out and given a 5-day notice of vacation, and at this point in time they're saying, well, we need to turn it over to legal, which is quite understandable, but I think it's a little colder there than it is here or in Dallas. And if by chance, you know, we got really, really lucky and they moved out, how do I keep the pipes from freezing without going paying $25 a day for them to go out and inspect it? Or is that just...
One way you could do it is you could go out there and have them give the borrower a day to vacate.
Well, it's not the borrower. It's a squatter.
Oh, it's a squatter. Well, you can't do that. Well, so if a squatter's living in the house, more than likely he's not going to move out until the sheriff moves him out.
So there's little risk in this, right?
Risk as far as
them moving out before the sheriff appears.
Yeah, if it's a squatter, he's gonna live there as long as he can.
I kind of figured that case, but I hadn't had any experience with this.
Actually, that could be your benefit. That way the sheriff goes out there, does a lockout, moves the squatter out, you have NAA scheduled to go out that day and get it winterized. So you know, you typically got a little window there from the time they get them out to those pipes actually freeze, but you want to do it as quickly as you can. But so a squatter might be to your advantage in this case.
Hey, yeah, Charles, how aggressive is Detroit going to be on a squatter?
Well, it's just normal. They're not going to be any more aggressive on a squatter than they would be on a homeowner. I mean, I don't think they're going to be. I think they're going to move just as about the same pace with the squatter as they would a homeowner. Basically, they don't differentiate between a squatter and a homeowner. It's just somebody living in the house, and they're going to make them vacate the property. So, you know, there's no way we assume it's a squatter. We don't, you know, you really never know if it's a squatter till, you know, unless the homeowner tells you that the property was vacant and somebody moved in it, they don't know who it is.
Well, I got a deed in lieu from the borrower, and they moved out last summer or summer before last.
Okay, they moved in afterwards.
They were in. One of the attractiveness of the asset was it was occupied.
Oh, okay.
Have you done a door knock, Tim, to talk?
Yeah, they did a door knock. Well, they sent someone out there to see if it was occupied and put a 5-day vacation notice on them. So they did not talk to anybody. But the Range Rover was in the driveway.
And when was the 5-day vacate up?
About now.
Okay, so I'd probably go ahead and get it inspected just in case.
Yeah.
At least go ahead and get it inspected now. If they're not out by tomorrow or, you know, then more than likely they're going to ride it out till the sheriff comes out and meets them.
Who's responsible for the water bill?
That's probably a Charles question in Detroit.
Well, I mean, the utilities, well, typically they should have the, I guess let me ask you this question. Whose name are the utilities in?
They'd have to be in the squatters.
Have you checked the utility company to see whose name they're in?
They won't tell me.
Okay. Oh, okay. So the squatter, I mean, that's basically how a squatter gets squatter rights. They can move in, put a piece of furniture in the house, and take utilities on it, and they have the right to live there. Pretty much, you know, and you might want to check on this because at least check with the city. If they're in the name of the squatter, you have nothing to worry about other than if he doesn't pay them, which he won't, they could come back and just file a municipal lien against your property.
I think Detroit, we got Keith here, and he lives in Detroit. He's been an REO agent. I think they're going to have a super lien right on the water bill. Are they not?
The good thing is
water goes with the house.
It shouldn't be but 3 or 4 months anyway, because they'd probably turn it off if they weren't paying. Wouldn't you think?
So have you attempted to reach out to the water company?
Yes.
You've shown them that you own the house?
It was either the water company or the electric company. I can't remember which one, but yes, I let them know that I was the owner of the house, and they would not share whose name it was in.
Wow, Key said they won't turn the water off. Charles.
Yeah, I've seen that. I was looking at Key's notes here. So he said they won't turn the water off. They'll just continue to let it accumulate and until they move out, and he said the water would go with the house. So, I mean, the main thing is to push here and get them, you know, get them to do the get the squatter out of the house. And then the day that they vacate the property, just get them to go ahead and get it winterized. You can have the utilities, you can have the water cut off. You know, once they vacate, you get the water cut off. But you still want to get the lines bled and get it winterized, because cutting the water off doesn't winterize the house always. So you want to make sure that they drain those lines. And, of course, I know it's cold in Detroit, Keith, so it's definitely want to do that as quickly as possible.
All right. Cool. Keith, appreciate your help there. It's always nice to have a local guy that particularly has been an REO guy. Charles, I love those off-duty police officers, man. I'm just telling you. I know maybe when you were working for the big box shops, they didn't do it, but we used to hire off-duty police officers to go out and somehow squatters don't like those guys.
Hey, have you had any luck with getting a hold of a mailman?
They ain't scared of the mailman. They're scared of the
mailman would know whether
police officers are a problem.
Well, I'm looking at it at a different angle. The mailman would know if they move.
Not necessarily. A lot of times they'll put mail in the box for months until it falls out of that box.
Well, when it starts accumulating, they know, especially if...
Yeah, once it starts accumulating, they know.
If there's a $20 to $40 check for them in the mail to know that.
Yeah. I mean,
but I don't know how to reach them.
Most squatters don't change their mailing address to the residence either, because they're just squatting. They're not going to be there long, so they typically don't go change their mailing address.
And really don't care if they miss the bills either, do they?
They don't, because they're not going to pay it anyways.
Yeah, they're fretting those. They're really fretting those delinquent notices.
Well, stay tuned.
Yeah. All right.
Let us know. Let us know.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah. All right, so Charles, let's kind of scroll down through some of these most likely things. So ProTitle is going to do some significant drill down on subjects. They've identified these as subjects that you want to talk about, and we're going to let you vote. You're going to do a survey, and we're going to let you vote, and we're going to get your feeling about what you want them to talk about, and us to obviously weigh in on. So Charles, just kind of touch on down through there, if you would. I mean, obviously people can read. But.
Well, the first one is your property taxes. So that's definitely the first on the list. You want to make sure that there's not any delinquent property taxes or any taxes that may have gone to a tax sale. So that's always going to be number one on my list. And then you've got HOA liens and, you know, how to deal with them. You know, we deal with some HOAs. We don't deal with, a big majority of HOAs, but a lot of you may have HOA liens you deal with, so that's a good subject to touch on as well. Unreleased prior mortgages, so what steps can you take to clear prior mortgages? So, you know, when you're buying an asset, you know, probably before you buy it, if there's a mortgage that's not released, you're probably going to want to look at that before you buy the asset. So, you know, that's something we rarely come across, I'll be honest with you, Eddie, because if there's a mortgage, it's going to be released before we buy the note. So, but, you know, that's something you want to look at.
May not be true on a junior lien, though.
Correct. You're right. On a junior lien, I know a lot of you deal with junior liens. So,
yeah, pretty common that junior liens, are gone and they just never filed a record. And they got – anyway, that's a possibility.
Right. Broken chain of assignments, that's a good one to know about, because, you know, a lot of times, especially dealing in, when we deal with lower price band assets, a lot of times there are a multiple chain of assignments. So that's something very good to kind of learn up on. Bankruptcy, we get a lot of bankruptcy questions here, you know, between what's the difference between Chapter 7 and 13 and how it could affect your mortgage, and we cover that a lot on our calls, but it's always good to get another opinion on that as well, because that is common. We see a lot of bankruptcies, and that is common. So, Matt, what else we got here? Code violations and municipal liens. That's always a good one, because like we're just talking about the water bill, in Michigan, you know, those liens, like in Michigan, those follow the house, so those could be superior liens. So what liens and what code violations are, you know, would take precedence over your lien and would have to be paid. Mechanics liens, again, these are liens that when you're looking at your due diligence and you're looking at your title, you're going to want to, you'd see this mechanics lien more than likely.
Pretty common to be a junior as a mechanics lien.
Correct. And that's
some contractor did work on the house and never got paid.
Right. Yeah. So, and most of these we don't see a lot of mechanics liens, Eddie. You know, these are owner occupants, and so they really hadn't had any remodel done if they're getting foreclosed on. So, but it's good to know. But we don't have a lot of mechanics liens. IRS and state tax liens. Again, these are, you know, what are the statutes? We cover these a lot. We get questions about IRS and state tax liens, and you see those a lot on title, especially in our business in the lower price band. We see a lot of that. And then, again, water and sewer liens and balances. You know, some municipalities, you have to pay those. Some you don't. You know, that's those are good subjects to cover. I mean, they've actually investing issues and transfers, death, estates. We get some questions regarding estates, mother or father die, the son takes it, there's family members involved that they're fighting over it. You know, there's always different aspects to the death in an estate and probating an estate. So
yeah, and particularly in the non-conforming space, it's like, what does it take to foreclose if mom and dad died?
Correct.
Or what does it take to foreclose if dad died and mom didn't die?
Right. Because there's still a probate you have to go through. If you don't have a will and a living trust or anything, there's still a probate you still have to go through if spouse passes away. So, you know, these Pro Title came up with all 10 of these. I mean, I think they did a pretty good job covering, you know, the main concerns we would have when we're looking at title and when we're buying an asset. So definitely want to see what everybody else's opinion is and what they think's the biggest priority here.
Cool. All right. So, Matt, how are we going to do this? You still got Kevin on with you? He's the survey captain.
Yeah, I'm still here.
And so, Kevin, we're gonna pop these up on the screen, right, Matt? I just see little dots going here, you know what I'm saying? All right. All right, so Matt, are we going to just prioritize which one of these we see as number one versus number 10? Is that what we're going to do? I don't know, I lost audio on Matt.
I don't hear him.
I was just talking away and I was on mute, so yeah. So what we're going to do is we're going to highlight what they think the first or the top five are, because Diggy's wanting to go and do the first top five and for the next probably 5 or 6 months highlight one a month for those. So what they'll do is vote on 5 of the 10. And so the top 5 respondents that we get will be considered our top 5. And then we'll go from there on that. So what they'll do is, just like they did at the Node Expo and appreciation event, you just text 222-333 to Node School, and that joins you up. Then once again, or text Node School to that number, and then once again, just text A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J. And we've already got results, so everybody kind of remembers that. So if you already registered or did Node School, you should already be in the system. So you should be able to just text 22333 and in the body text whichever numbers or whichever letters that you think are the most relevant. So we're getting responses here. So just do your top 5. So vote for 5, or if you think 1 or 2 is the most important, just vote for those, and we'll calculate them all and have Dickie on to kind of talk about what those are. So this will stay open a couple of hours past the call. So these will still be up if you still want to text in afterwards. So the syllabus, they will be in line A, B, C, all the way to J on the syllabus, same numbers, 1 through 10. So
I'm voting too, Matt.
Hey.
I'm voting.
One of the few times you actually get to vote for something we do.
I know, usually they shut me off on that. I don't really know why that would be.
Conflict of interest or something like that. I don't know. I heard something like that.
Maybe it.
No, I mean, you know, Pro Title just says we want to know. And so then I got a confirmation. It said a keyword A cannot be found. Make sure you entered the keyword correctly and try again.
Did you send it to 22333?
Yes, and then I got a response. And it said the keyword A cannot be found. Make sure you entered a keyword correctly and try again.
So what I want you to do is, instead of doing a letter, go ahead and type Note School into your body and see what comes up from that. So text Note School to the 223.
Hit send.
And send it. Yes. Just Note School to that, to those five numbers.
All right.
Did it tell you you're now involved in Susan Delagarza's survey?
You joined Susan Delagarza's session. Boom. Note School. When you're done, reply leave.
Now go ahead and put what letters you want in. Send it back to that. Don't put Note School in, but just send A, B, C, D, E, F, all the way to J. Just one letter at a time to that number again, and that will now start your voting.
Everybody clear about what I'm doing?
That may have helped some people, because we just got about four or five just responding. So.
That was me. I did it five times, man.
I ain't your stack of the deck, man.
Keith.
When do we see the results, Matt?
Well, I mean, hey, these are top secret results. I don't know if we can just let everyone like you, so. No, we'll
I got a confirmation that said processed 5 out of 5 votes. Now, Matt, I use Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, while we're voting on this, because I know, like, want to make sure we do this right. While we're voting on this, Lisa used the Google Maps, found a daycare center, and Charles, somebody at the daycare center is going to ride by the property tonight and let her know in the morning.
Very good, Lisa. Thank you. See, that's always good. I didn't think about daycare, but yeah, there's got to be daycares there.
So, Tim, I'm going to unmute you and ask you that question, because I'm not following what you're saying. And actually, I'm gonna tell you I fibbed a bit. This one that we're doing right now is going to close in a minute, but the next one is going to stay open indefinitely or until the end of the day. So. And it's a little bit different. It's basically what you don't understand. That way we can kind of capture two things. Tim?
All right. I put in 22333 and C, D, E, H, and J, and I got the message the C, keyword C, could not be found. And I think Eddie was saying that he got that. And
right, I typed in Note School and hit send. And then I typed in the letters and hit send again, and then it confirmed that I was in Susan's session or whatever. Anyway, when I hit send, Note School, then it activated it.
Yeah. See, all that was going on while I was making my choices.
Well, see, I thought you were like Lisa and you were like on Google doing something. I'm just kidding.
Yes.
All right. Thanks.
And Connie, you're welcome. Connie just asked a question, which is perfect. There is another way that you can respond. So you can actually just go to pollev.com/noteschool and put that in your URL, and that will actually engage you also, and you can vote that way as well. So for future reference, we'll be using this, and you can go to just pollev.com/noteschool. And then that will give you the same option. You can just do it online. So.
And at the bottom, that's how many results you have?
Are you seeing it?
What says 139?
That's how many we have so far, yes.
Wow.
Give me just a second.
All right. So. Anyway, we want to make sure everybody's doing this, and once again, just to be clear about it, so ProTitle has said they kind of picked 10 things, and they're letting us vote on what 5 things that we cover first. Okay, so they're going to do a significant drill down on whatever 5 things, and it's a democratic society. We're going to vote, and that's what everybody's doing.
All right, so I just pulled over what I did. So look up at the top in my URL. I put in this right here.
Okay.
Ev.com/noteschool. It automatically did this, and it automatically put me in this. So if I wanted to go in and click on each one of these, I can vote for it for whichever ones I think are most relevant to me.
Okay.
So you can do it online as well, and then I can
that's cool too.
So
where's your submit button?
Just push enter.
Oh, got it.
So, and that you can vote that way too. So I'm gonna go ahead and if you'll give you about 5-6 more sec or 10 more seconds to finish voting on this one, and then we will go to the next question. That one should run a little bit smoother. So,
we have another one. We have another question.
Another question. This one's going to, instead of what do you find on a title report when you're looking through it, this is going to give us a little bit more of a what do you have the most issue understanding. So, do you find taxes to be the most confusing? Do you find broken chain of assignments? And so this is the same thing. So if you'll give me a second, I will go ahead and close this one out. All right.
Megan, we could do something like, do you like Charles or not? Vote yes or no.
Well, you don't have to put yes on there, Eddie. So I like it to be a multiple choice question.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, you have a narrative, right?
Right, exactly.
Right, so this is kind of the second part of it, which is what are you the most confused about? And if you're voting the same as you did last time, it's okay. Don't sweat it. But to me, that's an interesting thing. Taxes. I put taxes on the first one. I'm not going to put tax on this one because taxes aren't confusing. You either owe them or you don't, right? Mm-hmm. I'm just giving you an example. I shouldn't tell you how I'm voting.
You just did.
Well, just say.
Just because you see something doesn't mean that you don't understand it. So, and this way we can kind of cross-reference which ones will be first. You know, if we have a lot of, you know, taxes, for instance, what you were saying, since it's first on the list, if we have a lot of things that we see that are taxes, but we also have a lot of respondents to say, I don't really understand taxes, and that's the number one correlated, then we'll do that first. And then say, for instance, bankruptcy was another thing you see a lot of, but you don't understand secondly. Then we can kind of go that way, and that way we know which one's most important on the list and which one's not. Make sense?
I agree, because I think I voted very different on the first one than I did the second one.
And they're coming on along. So, and if there are more than five things that, you know, you don't understand, you need clarification on, this is the one that, you know, if you don't understand all of them, vote for all of them. If you understand, you know, you don't understand six of them clearly, then that's, you know, this is when you can vote for everything if you want to. So. So, and like I said, this one's going to stay open for a little bit. So we'll go ahead and kind of pull this down. But all the A through J, if you look at the syllabus and all the numbers or the letters on the or the 1 through 10, and you just put a letter beside it, that would be 1 through 10 on the syllabus. So A through J is the same as the letters here. We're already up to 118, 222, or 122. That jumped. So, all right.
Very good.
Very good.
All right. I have a question, Matt, if we're done.
All right. What do you need?
And I want them to answer on the board. Okay? So we are doing the byline.
for January. And Bob's got his input. Martha's got hers. Charles has his. Everybody's got their input about what we see happening in 2016, either because of a market change or because of, you know, just the natural cycle of the market or what people need help with, like, you know, National Asset Advisors coming online or the, what's Kate's company, Charles?
Halo?
No.
Clear Springs? Or the...
No. The new company they presented at Node Expo, I've just had a mental block.
Resitech,
which is the same system that we use internally to manage all of our dashboard that we use to manage all of our assets. So tell me what you want this year. More notes? Or whatever. Tell me what you want. And you can just kind of type it, and Matt will gather them up. So I'm just curious before I kind of write my final, you know, on top of what Martha and Charles and Bob and all those guys have already written, I'm just curious about what you think you need.
We are getting
all right. That's what I'm looking for. Very good. How many notes do we have in due diligence right now, Charles?
I'm sorry, what, Eddie?
How many notes do we have in due diligence?
Oh, probably over 200 assets right now.
All right, so I'm going to just say that there shouldn't be anybody saying we're. If I told you to tell me what you want, but if you say you want notes, we got notes. Now they may not be in your zip code. We have some people say, well, Charles, I'd like a note on a $200,000 house at the same discount I can buy a note on a $20,000 house. What do you say about that?
Not going to find it here. We don't have $200,000 notes.
Some of them brownies from Denver, right?
Yeah, exactly, Eddie. That's it. Yeah, you know, be realistic with your requests because remember, we work this lower price band.
Yeah, no, there's some really good suggestions.
Very good suggestions. I was just going through those, Eddie.
Yeah, in fact, it's interesting. Some of the things that you guys are putting on there are things that we already have in motion, but I wanted to just kind of higher price bands. Yeah, everybody willing to pay up for those, by the way? About three times as much as you're paying now? I mean, three times the percentage you're paying now.
Yeah, there's not much room in those higher price band assets right now, Eddie.
Yeah. But I told you to make me a list, and you made me a list. Matthew, you can capture that list for me, can't you?
I'm putting it in the save queue right now.
You are the man. All right. Kevin, what do you want this year?
Oh boy, you put me on the spot there. I wasn't prepped for that. Don't know. That's a good question. I'll have to think about that.
You know that we're working in several business system processes. You're helping us behind the scenes with several things. Managing more assets more efficiently. Mm-hmm. Selling assets for more money. Do you think that's the key to it, Charles, in the MPL space? I mean, Kevin, is just having a vendor that can do the things that you don't want to do?
I think that's more and more becoming a part of it every day, and that's where the industry is going, and it makes more sense. I mean, you look at real estate investors, and they're all doing the same thing. I mean, we all know rents are going up in certain areas, property value ratios are changing, and I think most of the real estate investors who are doing well today are following that, you know, that model of longer-term investing and in places where it makes more sense. And I think we're going to continue to see that trend. And anytime you're doing that, you have to have a team, you know, of people that can do that efficiently for you.
Yeah. All right. Very good. You guys gave us some really good input on what you're looking for. And I think that's
just so I'm you guys are looking at them the same place I am under the in the question area, right? That's where they're typing everything in?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we've never really done this very much, but we may do this from time to time. We may do a drill down I gave you a very broad subject, but we may do it like this from time to time to just get, you know, it's easy for somebody to sit there and type in and tell us something, and that way we can kind of register it, and, you know, we're always trying to adjust to what we feel like you need, but we're always trying to listen to what you say you need.
That's right.
So, Matt, you got all your polling done there, my man?
I think so. So without pulling them back up, hold on a second. Let me.
Yep. All right.
Yeah, we had a pretty good bit of respondents on these, so.
Very good. All right, well, this is our first non-performing call this year. Kevin, I know you're going to take the baton and go with it tomorrow.
That's right.
And then obviously we had our first performing call last night, and then obviously Joe will do it on Thursday. And, you know, if you've been with us for a long time, you know that we've changed kind of the nature of these calls over the, you know, over the years, and we are always trying to do it to adapt to what you like. Kevin, one of the things that I know they really like with you doing with them is showing them where to find stuff on the site.
Right, yeah, I try to incorporate that every time that we do that, and I think it's helpful, yeah, because the more, you know, we're constantly putting stuff on the site, and we have plans for more, and we have plans for better organization and all that. But in the meantime, there's so much there that I think people get a little lost. So for sure on Wednesdays, we always try to reference back to that.
Yeah, cool. All right, Mr. Bangin, back to work.
Back to work.
The break's over.
Thanks, everybody, for the break. I needed it today.
You guys have a good day. Kevin, thanks for being on with us.
Yeah, thanks, sure.
Kevin.
All right,
everybody. Happy New Year. All right, buddy.